Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You get to join the really smart people who've already been listening. And they know who they are. They know how smart they are. That's one of the signs of high intelligence, ladies and gentlemen, is if you are a regular listener to the Small Business Advocate Show, because of me, it's because of guys like Tony Paradiso. It's because of the members of our Brain Trust who join us four at a time every day, sometimes more, sometimes a little less, sometimes three and a half, but usually around four people join us every day from our Brain Trust to talk to us about things that are going on out there in the marketplace and bring them back to you and me so that you and I can have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Tony Paradiso is one of those guys. He is one of our top management experts in the Brain Trust. He's the author of The Management Minefield, Avoiding the Pitfalls of Corporate Politics. He's our good friend. Tony, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. Am I the half person today?
No. Today you're a full person. Well, actually, you could kind of drop to a half. It depends on how you do today.
Oh, okay. I'm going to get great.
I'm not the least bit worried about you, though, Tony, because I know you're always one of our best guests, and I'm glad that you're here today. One reason I'm glad you're here today is because you've actually got a real live personal business story to tell us about and to help us learn from.
Yeah, I do. One that has been a little bit painful, but a great learning experience. You know, I spent most of my career in corporate life running marketing organizations.
Right.
But about a year ago, I purchased a small business. I purchased a country store.
And that's when, and if you remember, I said, I know what you were feeling, but what were you thinking?
And that was basically everyone's response. What were you thinking? Well, here's what I was thinking. I purchased it as an investment because it was fully staffed and that I would kind of only work in it on a passive, you know, invest in it, be the strategy behind growing it, but have the staff stay in place. And that worked, for 8 months. And then in July, my lead manager unfortunately suffered a stroke.
And how's he doing?
She's doing well.
Okay, well, give her our best.
Yes, we will. Fortunately, there was no paralysis. It just affected her vocal skills, and she's in rehab, and she's doing better.
We're glad she's well.
Yeah.
Getting better, I should say.
That was important that she be able to move on.
And she was your anchor there, wasn't she?
Oh, absolutely. She did everything. My second manager was primarily handling the kitchen duties, cooking and all those kinds of things. And we had never really saw eye to eye. He didn't buy into my growth strategy.
He didn't operate on your frequency, did he?
No. You know, we do ice cream in the summer, and one of the things they used to do before I bought it was force customers to go outside, because we had an ice cream window. They forced customers to go outside to order ice cream, which makes sense during a lunch rush.
Right.
But at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when there's nobody in the store, if somebody comes in wants to order ice cream, you say, "Okay, sure, you order it."
You don't say, "Step outside," and yeah.
Well,
because they might step outside and keep on going.
Yeah, it was a hot day one day. Two young girls come into the store. They want to sit in the store just to get out of the heat for a little while. And my manager says, "No, you got to go outside." They wouldn't let him sit in the store. So we had a conversation about that. But it was those kinds of things that we didn't exactly agree on.
So you wound up getting rid of that guy.
Well, we ended up working, obviously, side by side because I had to step in.
Right.
And one day he objected to the way I was cooking bacon.
Ah.
And literally walked out in the middle of the lunch rush.
Now, Tony, I got to be honest with you. You're down to one manager. You're in there doing this yourself, and, you know, I would think that you might have tried a little harder to get along with this guy.
Well, one would think that. But, you know, for me, it always is in these kinds of businesses, customers come first. And anyone that's impacting customer satisfaction or you know, doing what you need to do to build a customer base, there's no wiggle room as far as I'm concerned.
So as long as he was giving you grief, you were willing to put up with it. But when he started giving the customers grief, that's where you draw the line, right?
That's where I drew the line.
Good for you. Well, you know, here's one little lesson, though, I want to stick in here. And this is the part about you dealing with this guy, putting up, so to speak, with a person that you really didn't want to put up with. This is a time, and small business owners out there, a lot of folks out there know what I'm talking about, Tony. And that is when there comes a time sometimes in the life of being an owner when you actually feel like you're working for your employees.
Yeah.
They're managing you rather than you're managing them. And it's times like what you were just talking about. And I want you to come back and finish that story because this is a fascinating one. We're going to find out what Tony's going to do about this right after these messages. It's 20 till. Here's Joe Cocker to take us out. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Tony Paradiso, the author of The Management Minefield. Tony, give us your website, please.
It's www.paramarconsulting.com. That's P-A-R-A-M-A-R consulting, all one word.
Now, if I actually wanted to get you to help me with some consulting, Tony, would I have to ask you to lay the spatula down now and come help me? Or?
Yeah, well, no, I have to multitask. I have to consult and cook burgers
why,
at
why
the same time.
While you're flipping the burgers and the bacon, too, right? Okay, so you got somebody. I'm going to encourage you, maybe you should go to church a little bit more, Tony, because all of a sudden, both of your managers, in the span of a week or two, both of your top managers have left you for one reason or the other. So you've obviously ticked somebody off up there, up above there, Tony. And so, but seriously, now you're down to you, right?
Yeah. And
Tony, you're a big-time management consultant.
Yeah.
You're in there flipping burgers. What's wrong with this picture?
You got that right. I tell you what, it's sitcom material. We really think it is. But yes, I found myself basically, in not so much, it wasn't even the situation of now, how am I going to put in all the hours to keep the place running, but I had lost a wealth of knowledge about the place as well.
You'd lost the memories and the brain trust, hadn't you?
Absolutely.
And can I stop on that for just a second?
Sure.
I want you to help us teach something here. Folks, some people can't be redeemed. Some people need to go. But there are people who don't need to go, who have the memories, they are part of your brain trust. And if you're neglecting them, if you're not appreciating them, if you're not training them and helping and compensating them, you're going to lose them. And so here's the question, Tony. What's it going to take? What's it going to cost you? How much time are you going to have to spend to get the replacement with those memories, which they actually could never have, and get them up functioning? I mean, if you think about that as opposed to what it would take if you just walked up and patted somebody on the back or said, well done, or have I told you lately how much I appreciate what you do, or let's talk about a profit-sharing plan or something like that. You need to think about those two scenarios, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I had thought about those in advance. I had put both, because I had intended to grow the business, which meant more work for the two managers, and that they were going to do the bulk of the work because I wanted to be an absentee owner. I had put them both on a profit-sharing plan that rewarded them not only on revenue increase but also profit increase, because obviously didn't want to reward them solely on revenue if we were bringing unprofitable revenue, but it was a plan that allowed them to significantly increase their salary and achieve a pay scale that was well beyond kind of the industry norm. And that didn't bother me at all because they were going to do the work and they should share in the reward. So,
well, obviously in those cases, every time they made a nickel, you made a quarter.
Well, that's right. That would be the theory, right? And so I thought that would be enough that they would get on board, they'd be willing to, you know, alter things and go the little extra mile because it would be putting money in their pocket. And one manager bought into the program and the other manager didn't. And that was a lesson to me, you know, because you come out of the corporate world and most people in the corporate world are pretty mercenary and, you know, money talks. And, you know, when you get an opportunity to make more money, it usually incentivizes people. But that's not always the case. Not all people are incented by money.
Right. Well, in fact, not, they're not only incented to do a better job, but they're not always incented to stay just because of money.
Right.
In fact, you know this, Tony, the research year after year after decade shows that more people leave, they leave for three or four other reasons on the list of reasons why people leave, way above money. Money sometimes is like sixth or seventh or maybe even not on the list.
Right. So, I mean, one of the keys is understanding what motivates an individual, what's going to make them happy, whether it is more money or job security or stability in the working environment. And then if you can, of course, you know, it may not be possible to fit your plan with an employee's plans, but if you can, you should try to do that. If you can't, then at that point in time, you know, you need to kind of come up with a contingency plan. My contingency plan happened abruptly, which meant stepping in, which in the long term was a good thing because I ended up learning many of the aspects of the business that I was relying on the managers.
You're going to be a better absentee owner now, aren't you?
Absolutely, because the good news is I now know that I can step in and do anything I need to do if an emergency occurs.
You were being a little bit, before this event, you were a little bit being, had the potential to be held hostage, didn't you?
I did, yes, I did.
And you probably, and you were to some degree.
To a degree, you mentioned before the break how you can be working for your employees versus the other way around, and that's kind of the situation I inherited. I didn't want to rock the boat when I bought the place, and so I made changes at a much slower pace than I would have ordinarily liked to. And I did some things and tolerated some things simply because I didn't want to disrupt their working patterns. My hope was I would, in baby steps, move in the direction I wanted to move. Ultimately, that didn't end up being a successful strategy for reasons that were kind of, you know, out of anyone's control. And now, the beauty of it now is I can make all the changes. I can create the environment I want to create and build the team that buys into that.
When we come back, we're going to talk some more about this and maybe even a little bit about what it looks like when you work for your employees. When I say that to people, sometimes they look at me like, have you lost your mind? How could that be? Well, it happens. And those of you who've been owning the company for a while know what I'm talking about. Tintel, stay with us.
When I was a young boy.
I remember 1967, don't you, Tony?
Vaguely.
Tony Paradiso, ladies and gentlemen, the only person who has less gray hair than me on this show, and he's our good friend, the author of The Management Minefield. And Tony, we're talking about some of the we were actually getting some instruction, a little bit of catharsis out of our system here with or into our system, I should say, with the experience that you've had with the employees recently in one of your businesses. And you know, as you were talking about the travails that you had, one manager, both of your key managers leaving you in about a 2-week period, and the challenges you've had there are two kinds of people listening. There's the people who are new to small business or want to be a small business owner, and they're shaking their heads in disbelief. And then there are those folks like me who've been around the block a couple of times, who maybe are a little bit longer in the tooth, and we're nodding our heads in understanding. And so you got both of those situations out there, don't you?
Well, yeah, and hopefully we're helping the people that are in disbelief today.
Well, exactly. They're the ones who are saying, I had no idea that could happen. I had no idea. You know, or they might say, well, you know what, I guess I believe what he's saying, but I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
And you got to think, if you're going to be a small business owner, you got to think about these things, don't you?
Right. Right. And I, you know, I always had in the back of my mind, you know, what happens if these people leave? But, you know, I'm crossing my fingers, you know, believing, oh, that's not going to happen. Things will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But now, of course, you know, and again, you've got to turn these situations into a positive. And even though my summer was disrupted, that's the worst thing that happened. In the long run, I've now gotten myself into a situation where I am very comfortable in stepping in any aspect of the business, which every owner should be able to do. I mean, you've got to know really every aspect of your business because you never know whether you're going to have to fill a hole sometime in the future.
Well, I've said over the years that when you're a small business owner, for most of us, if somebody doesn't show up for their shift, it's your shift.
That's right.
It's one of the things about small business owners and what you've done now is you've turned adversity into something into a positive. And that's really the way you have to look at this. Whenever you're in the darkest moment after something like this happens, if you're going to survive as a small business owner, you've got to say to yourself, okay, I can't wait to find out why this was a good thing. Right?
That's right.
Because you can, and if you show up every day, so that's exactly what will happen.
Right. You know, it's amazing how tolerant customers were of the situation, knowing that we were understaffed and that inexperienced people I had brought on. I brought in new people, obviously, and they didn't have the same experience level and couldn't function at the same level of efficiency. But customers were very tolerant. They understood. And you know, almost helped to develop a relationship with my customers in that sense, in that they've kind of felt like they assisted in the process of us coming back up to speed. So that was good, and that it helped me build relationships with my customers as well.
Well, Tony, let me ask you a question. Do you mind giving us the address of your country store?
Yeah, it's in Amherst, New Hampshire. It's on Route 101 in Amherst, New Hampshire.
All right, I've got quite a few stations in the New England area. Folks listening up there, what's the name of the country store?
It's called the Cider Mill Country Store, and the big milestone this year was we got a new sign. And you'll laugh, but I, you know, in a retail business,
that was a major
like
investment for you.
You know,
the reason I want you to give the address, folks, is all my friends and all our audience in New England, folks, if you get a chance, go by because, I mean, think of the opportunity to see Tony flipping bacon, yeah, and obviously the correct way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't miss it. There's a little facsimile water wheel on our sign. It's going to become a landmark. So look for the water wheel.
Tony, I got 30 seconds. Last thoughts.
Well, I think you summed it up by saying you got to turn things into a positive. You know, you don't want to lament to how did this happen to me. You just got to figure out how do I move forward and how do I take something good out of this situation and make the business a better business.
Right. Well said, Tony. And all the whole visit was a great one. Thank you for sharing your own travails and helping us become a little bit smarter in the process. Thanks for that.
Thanks for having me on.
We'll see you next time. And good luck. And listen, go get that bacon done. I'll see you, Tony.
Take care.
Tony Paradiso, ladies and gentlemen. Now you know why we have such cool people on the Brain Trust, people like Tony Paradiso. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners like Tony Paradiso. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.